Well, thank you. Thank you for being here. Well, first of all, I would like to thank my graduate student, Terry Soszynski. She did a marvelous job supervising all the undergrad students, summer RU students, who have contributed quite a bit to this work. Okay. So, first, why are we interested in 4-nanophenol? Why are we interested in their occurrence in a small watershed? Okay. So 4-nanophenol is a metabolite of non-ionic surfactant, nanophenol polyethoxylate. This class of compounds are added in a variety of consumer products. And so because they're used in a variety of consumer products, and in the United States, we use a lot of things. We're a big consumer country, so we use half of the worldwide production of nanophenol polyethoxylate. Now, because of nanophenol polyethoxylate, it's closely related to consumer products, such as shampoo and detergents and things like that. And very often, they get dumped into the sewer system, right? When you wash your hair, things get dumped, washed down the drain. So this pathway shows that once nanophenol get dumped into the sewer system, they can be quickly transformed to 4-nanophenol, which is what you see, the molecule you see at the very bottom. And our previous research have shown that this can happen very quickly, hours or within hours and days. Time frame. So now, why are we concerned about 4-nanophenol that end up in the environment? Well, 4-nanophenol is an endocrine disruptor. If you look at the structure of 4-nanophenol, one of the isomers, and it mimics the structure of 17-beta-estradiol. Right? So now, 4-nanophenol is not a naturally occurring compound. Okay, it only shows up in the environment is because the transformation from its parent compound, nanophenol polyethoxylate. So keep that in mind. It's not a naturally occurring compound. Because of its close association with sewer system, right? So the sewer water eventually end up in the wastewater treatment plant. And because 4-nanophenol is highly hydrophobic, it tend to accumulate in biosolids. So previous research have reported very high 4-nanophenol concentration in biosolids from hundreds to thousands ppm. Okay. Now, and this compound has been used as an indicator for assessing wastewater treatment plants, how it affects the environment. And also, it's being used as an indicator for the impact of application of biosolids on land. So now, in our study, the question is, can this compound also be used as an indicator of small urban impact on its surrounding watershed? To answer that question, we had three objectives. And pretty much each objective is one summer RU undergrad research project. And so first we are interested in, can we detect any 4-nanophenol in the stream of a mixed-use watershed? This watershed is pretty much in the backyard of Virginia Tech. Easy access, and there's no wastewater treatment plant impact on this little watershed. We do, there's no wastewater treatment plant. So we can tease that impact out, right? And then the second objective is that, okay, if we can see 4-nanophenol in the water, in the stream of this watershed, what is the spatial distribution and what's the time distribution? And the last objective was that, okay, if we see 4-nanophenol in the stream and it happens, and if it happens everywhere, then what's the source? Traditionally in the past, my own research and other people's research, we have been using this as indicator for impact of wastewater treatment plants. Like I mentioned, there's no wastewater treatment plant. what else may, you know, trace in terms of the source of this compound. And so that's our third objective, is to look at, you know, is urban activity and stormwater runoff, stormwater system, is that a source or not? Okay. Just a little bit of story about the town of Blacksburg. And the green outline over there, that's Blacksburg. So the Stribbles Creek watershed, which is outlined in blue on the map on the right, as you can see that it marked much of the watershed is going through, you know, Blacksburg. So 250 years ago, the Blacks family came to the town of Blacksburg, that's why it's called Blacksburg, at the very tip of the Stribbles Creek. That's where the water source was, and they built a water mill, right? And then gradually more people came in and the town started to build, expand along the water source, which is this wonderful creek. And so that's why you can see that the Blacksburg is, you know, on the side of this watershed. So now, over the years, the town has built over the Stribbles Creek. So this is what you see here in downtown Blacksburg. The creek is below the town. And about this particular picture, about this creek is our local RT's theater. And then once we get to the edge of the town, and the creek start to see in the daylight, and then go through this beautiful pasture land, and then it runs through further into the pristine forest area, and then eventually get into New River, which is one of the major rivers in Virginia. So now, the lower part of the Stribbles Creek has been on the EPA impaired water list for a number of years, and it's benthic impaired. So basically, you know, you go to the, you walk around the creek, it's a beautiful creek, but the organism you can see are those lowly bloodworms. We don't see a whole lot of diversity of organisms. And so for the longest time, we blame on sediments, we blame on you know, too much nitrogen, too much phosphorus, and so on and so forth. So Virginia Tech and the town of Blacksburg has spent millions of dollars trying to restore you know, the area around the creek so that we can reduce the sediment in, you know, input. So now we reduce the sediment input, still this creek is on the impaired water, you know, impaired river, water list, on the EPA list. So if you look at the land use distribution, pretty much half of the land is, you know, in this watershed is in Blacksburg, and it's urban residential, and then the lower part of this watershed is in the agriculture, it's about a quarter area, and pristine forest area. So what we did, we sent a student out to those sites as indicated you know, by the star. We collected samples focused on those six sites along the stream. So now, in terms of a sewer water system, this picture just shows you how elaborate in the town of Blacksburg we have a stormwater system all over town. This is provided by our city engineer. So now, the way they build the stormwater system in the town of Blacksburg, and a lot of times it's parallel with the sewer system. It's right next to the sewer system. So when you look at this stormwater system, you can pretty much picture the sewer system outline in the town of Blacksburg. So we sent the students last summer to different access points of the stormwater system in the town of Blacksburg, indicated by the red spots. And so we focus on the area that is kind of the original section of the town. So our argument is that if there's any impact, of the sewer system on the stormwater system, it should be in the older section of the town. So that's why we concentrate on those sites. And as you can see, that some of the access point of the stormwater is under the little manhole, but some just exposed to the surface. Okay, so for the Stribbles Creek, like I said, is this project is a collective effort of three summer RU projects. So we started collecting samples in the Stribbles Creek, the 6 points, in the summer 2012. And so on a biweekly basis, and a half year later is a monthly basis. And then the following summer, we were interested in what happens during the storm event. How does storm events impact the distribution of guanosine in the creek? So the following summer we concentrated on three storm events. And then this past summer, we concentrated on the sampling event on this one day, at the access points of stormwater systems throughout the town of Blacksburg. Just quick methods. So for a water sample, we use a solid phase extraction. For sample cleanup, extraction cleanup, and sediment, we use pressurized liquid extraction and cleanup, followed by cleaning up using silica gel column. And then we use GC triple qua for the analysis. We use a t-test for statistical analysis. Anyway, so here's the results. Guanosine was detected in Stribbles Creek water as well as sediment at all 6 points, collection points. And guanosine is more concentrated in the sediment, and that's not surprising because, as I mentioned early on, that guanosine is very hydrophobic, so it tends to accumulate in the sediment. Now, this the chromatogram down here. I'm just showing you that the data we're seeing is real. So the very bottom is the chromatogram for guanosine standard. And now guanosine is not, when you detect it, it's not just one compound. It's actually a group of isomers. It's because if you look at the structure of guanosine, you have this long alkyl chain, and that chain can be straight chain or can be branched, and therefore giving this cluster of peaks. Okay? So now, in a way, it's a nice thing because if you look at the profile of GC profile for what's in the sediment, what's in the water, it closely matches what the standard profile is. Okay. Okay. So now, if go back to this the lower part of the Stribbles Creek. The figure on the left-hand side, the top, shows the concentration in the sediment, and we grouped it as urban and pasture crop and the forest. And so if you look at the urban, there's a little, I don't know, you can see there's a little pond. And that pond is actually the retention pond that collects all the stormwater runoff from the town of Blacksburg. And it's supposedly the pond is designed for remediation of contaminants and things like that. So we have, we collect samples of the inlet of the pond and outlet of the pond. And that's a reflection of what's coming off the urban, small town, Blackbird. And then we have the pasture area and the forest that's considered somewhat pristine. So now if you look at this, the urban, in the sediment, guanosine concentration is in the very high and much higher than the guanosine concentration in the sediment in the downstream. But if you look at the concentration in the sediment in pasture area and forest area, it's still 2,000. An average is of around 2,000 parts per billion. Right? Is that high or not? And I'll show you a comparison in a little bit. Now, if we look at the concentration in water, it's a low ppb level, and we didn't see much of difference in terms of from upstream and the downstream. And another thing I'd like to point out is that the two red bars, the first one, that's the inlet into the pond, and the second bar is the outlet of the pond. And as you can see that actually, the concentration of guanosine in the both sediment and the water is higher in the outlet than in the inlet. So it's an indication that this pound is not working for, at least for compound like this, in terms of get rid of the compound. Okay. So now, like I mentioned, that we did see a slightly higher level in the sediment in the urban section and compared to downstream, but we didn't see much difference in terms of concentration in the water. Now, how does it compare with the rest of the world, right? Small town Blacksburg versus here. It's a study that we did back in 2012. We actually look at phenolphenol concentration in the sediment right at the outfall, wastewater treatment outfall of Los Angeles and Southern California, so they're indicated by the blue dot. And if you look at that concentration, and that is very similar to the sediment concentration where we observe in the small town, Blacksburg, in this little small watershed in the creek, right? So it's actually in the concentration detecting in the Stribos Creek is actually some of the samples even higher than Southern California sediment right at the outfall. Okay. So now, what's the source of phenolphenol? Is it urban, due to urban activities and just everything going on in the town of Blacksburg? Or is it due to leaky sewer systems? So then when we look at the phenolphenol concentration in the sediment of stormwater systems throughout the town of Blacksburg, and now this map shows that concentration in the sediment range from 29 ppb all the way up to almost 1500 parts per billion in the sediment. Now the highest concentration, that point, that is where the stormwater from the city of the town of Blacksburg that drained into the retention pond, and that's what you see there. We have students collecting sediment there, and you see better of that retention pond, the small pond, right on the edge of Virginia Tech campus. Okay. Now the second highest concentration is this area. You see that if you enlarge that area, you see another retention pond. That retention pond collects the stormwater runoff from that little neighborhood there. Okay. So if you look at the concentration of phenolphenol in the site number 30, that is a little stream that's feeding into the retention pond, and we actually didn't detect any phenolphenol in the sediment. But when you look at what's coming, the sediment that's coming out of the retention pond, and the concentration is very high. So why? We think it's all the stormwater, also maybe the leaky sewer system from that neighborhood is contributing, putting phenolphenol into this pond. And again, just comparison, what's happening in Southern California. So now, what's the source of phenolphenol in the stormwater system? While the undergrad student, while they were roaming around town, collecting sediment, and they shot this picture, those people washing their cars. So when you wash cars, what do you use? You use detergent, right? So they were not brave enough to collect what's in the bucket and, to analyze what's in there. So maybe that's a source. But maybe, like I mentioned, that in the town of Blacksburg and the stormwater drain normally is running alongside of the sewer system. Maybe it's a leaky system. To prove that, in the the parallel study, one of my colleagues, they did assessment on human-associated bacteria, and this is the indicator for leaky sewer system or human impact. So the map on the left, the red dots and the maroon dots indicate the hot spots. So if you look at the hot spots for human-associated bacteria versus phenolphenol, and overlap quite nicely. Okay. If you see hot spot of human-associated bacteria, and we see, we can detect phenolphenol. Okay, so now the other question is, okay, so we somewhat know the source of phenanophenol, and they are everywhere in the sediment and water in this watershed. What happens when we have, you know, huge storm events? Is it going to, you know, we know during a storm event it can stir up the sediment. Is the sediment going to release more phenanophenol into the water, right? And so this figure shows that during a storm event with increasing stream water flow, the load, mass load of phenanophenol increased linearly. So, and if you look, we look at, you know, throughout the year, we pull all the data together. If you look at the phenanophenol concentration in the water collected when there's rainfall during the past 24 hours, the concentration is higher than what's in the water during the, you know, base flow. There's no rain for an extended period of time. So we highly suspect that during the storm event, sediment resuspension can release phenanophenol into the water. Okay, so what's the take-home message? We have this small, beautiful watershed, and the retention pond is now working for treating organic contaminants that are running off from the town of Blacksburg. Okay, and at least for phenanophenol, the level is very high, and even worse than what you see, you know, right downstream of wastewater treatment plant. Okay. And we suspect that phenanophenol is from the stormwater system, but what's in the stormwater system most likely is due to the leaky sewer system. I already mentioned this. The retention pond is not working. During storm events, it stirs up the sediment. So the sediment is kind of acts as a reservoir, and that retention pond upstream of the creek is a bigger reservoir. So when there's storm events, you can imagine this like this event like conveyor belt. So it's just moving this contaminant downstream and further and further. That's why we can detect this compound even, you know, six miles downstream. And unfortunately, we didn't go to the New River, you know, and see if we can detect this this compound in New River. So now, the next question is Blacksburg impact on this watershed unique? You know, we have many similar type of small town in the United States, right? So how does phenanophenol affect the benthic community health in the Stribbles Creek? And we have treated, you know, improved the sediment condition in the water, and it's still benthic repair. Maybe the benthic repair impaired is because some other contaminants are causing the impact. So maybe next summer I'm going to send more students to the creek and, you know, see if we can find any deformed whatever organisms. So with that, I know I'm running really late. Thank you.